Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow, welcome back to the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bose, I'm still here, and I'm joined yet again by the mastermind, the conductor of the insanity, as per usual, by Augie, who's going to help us navigate our way through Internetsville, through the dustbins. And where else would we start? Let's have a start this week in Israel. Israel's had an interesting year, conducting its operation in Gaza, which is still ongoing. Of course, we were told that Hamas were now defeated quite some time ago. Don't seem too defeated, killing numerous Israeli soldiers, very sadly, for their families in Gaza in the last 10 days. And guess what's happened? In the neighborhood, our new friends, Mr. Al-Jalani, as he used to be known, the Syrian prime minister, an ex-Al-Qaeda commander, gone past 20 years since they bombed London. A lot of people died there. They'll know who I'm talking about. He was installed, a lot of handshaking, right, Augie? A very popular guy in Europe and America. Lovely guy, great guy, according to the Big Don. Well, they just got the bombed out of them by the Israelis. Now, remember, the Israelis helped. Nothing happens by accident in that neighborhood, certainly without the Israelis knowing. They helped install Mr. Al-Jalani into power, removing Bashar al-Assad, dispensing with all that pesky democracy, regional councils, the constitution. Yeah, no one really interested in that. They are all best mates with this guy now, but until just about 2 or 3 days back, when the Israelis reminded the Syrians that who's in charge. Let's say. Run the video, Augie. She just says Israel. Womp. Yeah. And guess why they're knocking the shit with their new best friends, Mr. Al-Jalani? Remember, all the attacks on Iran, none of it would have been possible without the logistical air corridor that flew completely scot-free through Syria. Remember, when Mr. Assad was in power, that would have never happened. It had happened recently during this destruction of the Iranian nuclear program, right? Like, complete destruction of that. That was completely wiped out. All that nuclear material was destroyed and bombed, and not a single piece of radiation escaped into the atmosphere. How did that happen, Augie? So look, this is what's gone. This is all part of the big chessboard. They're getting reminded by the Israelis who's really in charge. Don't get above yourself. Don't start killing too many of the Druze, a Muslim minority, if you like, in Syria, about 20,000 Druze living in Syria, who Mr. Jalani has decided to stand back and let some local housekeeping take place. Let's call it that. A lot of Druze actually serve in the Israeli IDF and in the army and the police across Israeli society. So very interesting stuff. Very interesting indeed. So you may ask yourself, what legitimacy does Israel have, right, Ogs, to go around the Middle East basically bombing out of everybody, Yemen, Palestine, Lebanon? They just seem to have carte blanche to knock the shit out of whoever they want. But that's because a 3,000-year-old book basically tells them that they can do that, right? This is sort of a manual, Oh, by the way, this is it's your garden, your front garden. You've been there how many? 10,000 years? Yeah, it's mine now. The old book tells me so. Yeah, and they actually believe this stuff. Well, they seem to. They believe it when it's convenient for them. And it's all coincidental, of course, that, the rules only apply to Israel's enemies. Yeah, we're going to talk a bit more about coincidence in a second, right, Augie? So let's have a look. Run the video.
Finally, let me conclude with the most important fact of all. Israel is the ancestral home of the Jewish people, the land about which Ezekiel wrote, "Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. Am Israel Chai."
So the book told me I can do it, right, Augie?
Let's talk coincidences, Shay. Here's the first one for you. Coincidentally, the court over Netanyahu had to be adjourned amid Syrian strikes. And here's another one for you. The entire UN commission that was supposed to investigate Israeli crimes has resigned because of the American sanctions.
Complete coincidence, right, Augie? So, Augie, speaking about coincidences and, everything having its own value depending on which side of the room you're standing at, it's all relevant. You need perspective. And who else to offer us a bit of perspective than the Starmer Fuhrer, the grossly unpopular, very pernicious man. He just seems to rub people up the wrong way. don't say that to the Ukrainian boys that, you know, burnt his house, rubbed them up the wrong way. But he seems to get off at the wrong foot with lots of people. But let's have a listen to Mr. Starmer deciding that there is an a la carte, you know, you can pick from the menu of morality depending on who's doing the killing. Yeah, for sure. This is a really, really good piece of work from Oggy from the dustbins of the interweb. Run the video, Oggs.
I'd also like us all to say with one voice that anybody who is responsible for these war crimes, and they are war crimes in Ukraine, will be hunted down and held to account before the International Criminal Court. As to whether each and every act is in accordance with the law, well, that will have to be adjudicated in due course. I think it's unwise for politicians to stand on stages like this or to sit in television studios and pronounce day by day which acts may or may not be in accordance with international law. I think it's not the role of politicians.
Ah, what a creep. You know, it's just unreal, right, Uggs?
How is there going to be any investigation if there's no one to investigate the Israelis now?
Yeah, so basically, if the International Criminal Court, you know, wants to arrest Vladimir Putin or Cyril Ramaphosa, anybody, you know, it's all good. If you want to, you know, arrest anybody in Israel, you know, they actually threatened to bomb the crap out of the court. I mean, well, you know, well, might is right. That's what it looks like to me. Of course, you can't talk about Israel without talking about the US, right? They've given them probably heading for $300 billion in real terms since the establishment of the Israeli state in 1948. They basically have the open checkbook. We know AIPAC influencing people, openly bragging, Ilya, about getting people elected. If you support AIPAC, you're getting elected. If you don't, we're not so sure. Now, of course, there's another symbiosis here. And of course, that's, you know, Epstein, you know, Mr. Epstein, of course, a Jewish man, you know, friend of Israel, which is all fine. We don't have a problem with that, do we, Huggy? But who did he work for? Come on. There's another guy called Robert Maxwell, who just so happened to be Ghislaine Maxwell's dad. And Robert did work for Mossad, and he mysteriously fell off a yacht and drowned. He controlled basically the entire British media. Look it up. Yeah, for sure. But of course, Mr. Epstein had nothing whatsoever to do with Mossad. Yeah, well, maybe, maybe not. Our friend Tucker Carlson has his own view on who exactly Mr. Epstein worked for and who's running the entire show. Run the video, Oggy.
And I think the real answer is Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. And we have every right to ask, on whose behalf was he working? How does a guy go from being a math teacher at the Dalton School in the late 70s with no college degree to having multiple airplanes, a private island, and the largest residential house in Manhattan? Where did all the money come from? And no one has ever gotten to the bottom of that because no one has ever tried. And moreover, it's extremely obvious to anyone who watches that this guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel because we have been somehow cowed into thinking that that's naughty.
No, that's naughty. You can't say the words naughty and Epstein in the same sentence. Could get you into a bit of trouble, eh, Augie?
Actually, Che, I think we should all shut up because even Stephen King, the hater of Trump for 10 years, now says that Epstein files did not exist.
Yeah, and you should, if you're interested in Stephen King, I'm not suggesting anybody do this, that you should not look up his writings in his novel, which became a film called It, where an 11-year-old is gang raped by a gang of people, and he describes that in great detail. But I'm not suggesting that has anything to do with him having a bit of a fascination with Mr. Epstein. We're not suggesting that, right, Augie?
Absolutely not, Che.
No. And one of the most interesting things is, of course, everybody out there, you're all watching this, and we all know, how does this thing that was so real become so unreal? How does something that was a priority for the whole administration, you're telling me that nobody knew that this wasn't real, whether we're all telling us it was real? Come on, we're not kids. Stop treating us like kids. Certainly not the way kids were treated on Epstein Island, right, Augie? It all doesn't make sense. And, of course, it's going to bite. It's biting very hard. And everybody in the States on both sides of the divide know that this is bull. that they're getting screwed over about the Epstein files, of course. And by the way, Augie, how do you release the first part of the Epstein files? It's a great fanfare, as you can see. A lot of journalists and bloggers were given the first release of the Epstein files, which we're now told don't exist. You know, it's got the US Department of Justice logo on it. It's bound and it was all released to this great fanfare. How do you release, Augie, the first part of a set of files that now we're being told don't exist? Come on. Let's have a look at what Americans are really thinking is happening with this whole show. Mm-hmm. Why don't the government release the Epstein's list? Because the government are the Epstein list. Come on. Come on. Run the video, Augie. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. He's a good one. So while the whole Epstein thing is, creaking along, it ain't going away, what else are the kids in the U.S. up, doggy? Well, they legalize cannabis in a lot of U.S. states, and whether you agree or disagree, I don't know. How is that good for the young mind? We know that this can screw up a kid's brain if they take it too young. I know a lot of grown-up people whose brains are screwed up because they smoke this. Right, doggy? But anyway, in the good old US of A, the school kids and kids on summer camp are getting some very interesting, aquaculture or horticultural instruction. Yeah, this is for real. Check it out. Welcome to the USA 2025. Run the video, Augie.
You're telling me undocumented,
unaccompanied kids,
I'm
not talking about the undocumented part, but according to this statement, in this country, not at marijuana farms at all.
Don't give me semantics. Look at the reality of what we're
just
talking about.
Listen,
an unaccompanied, undocumented 14-year-old
Jillian,
in the middle of the
Jillian,
day.
I believe, and many people might believe, children should be subject to child labor laws.
Absolutely.
But it's true in this country that when it comes to agricultural work, they're not. And that includes marijuana farms. So the legality of their status is a separate issue. But the fact of children being there is not actually something that is necessarily illegal.
I have a really hard time believing that.
So it's not unusual for there to be teenagers and working in a farm.
A 14-year-old can work at a marijuana growing?
It doesn't matter whether it's a marijuana farm or an apple farm.
Doesn't matter whether it's a marijuana farm or an apple farm. Of course it doesn't matter, because apples are going to fuck up your whole brain chemistry for the rest of your life. Yeah. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What? But there's one thing politicians are really good at, right? It's distraction. Look, over there, a squirrel, Yeah, for sure. No, it's not our fault. Look, over there, it's a war. Oh, look, in 1930s Germany, look, the Jews are stealing from you. Oh, yeah, it's the Muslims, it's the blacks, it's the Irish. Yeah, and guess what? The big Don, as much as we love him, is really screwing the pooch right now. He's back to Joe Biden 2.0, and he's now giving weapons to Ukraine. Although he says he isn't, he's selling weapons to NATO, and they're going straight into Ukraine. Come on, give me a break. Everybody knows what's happening. Lots of cash for the big businesses in the States. Vlad and his pals in Kiev are going to line their pockets to the tune of another couple of billion, probably in the Ukroscan, the dictatorship. And somebody's a bit unhappy about it. Poor old Kaja Kallas, the Estonian minnow state leader, ex, and now the top diplomat in the EU. Yeah, can you believe it? This numb-nutted idiot is actually a diplomat. Yeah, it kind of defines what Europe is going through at the moment at the hands of these halfwits. Let's have a listen to her giving out, because you promised to give us the weapons for free, but now you're making us pay for them. Oh, poor old EU. Run the video, Augie.
Well, if we pay for these weapons, it's our support. So it's European support. And we are doing as much as we can to help Ukraine. And therefore, the call is that everybody would do the same.
What does that mean?
It's, if you promise to give the weapons but say that somebody else is going to pay for it, it's not really given by you, is it?
Well, are you serious? Are you really serious? You expect the Americans to just give you the for free because you want to continue this idiotic, road to nowhere war of absolute destruction of Ukraine? You think the Americans are going to pay for that? They've had enough of this. If you can say anything you like about the big Don, but he's not an absolute idiot. like his predecessor, Mr. B. And of course, Europe is completely united, right, Augie? As usual. Yeah, not. I think Slovakia have just yesterday agreed to this idiotic 18th round of sanctions, which are going to do anything to Russia, because they were told, you know, we're not going to cut off Russian gas. Just sign on the dotted line here and let us pretend we're going to stop the Russian advances in Ukraine. No, they going to have any impact. And of course, when it comes to buying billions and billions of euros worth of weapons, not everybody agrees in Europe either. France, Italy and Spain are all disagreeing and refusing to basically throw their taxpayers' money to Uncle Sam so he can flood Ukraine with probably secondhand bullshit, a lot of which doesn't work. Let's have a look. Why would Spain be maybe a little bit preoccupied with something else? You know, Spain, remember, getting singled out by the Big Don for a particular ire because probably because they're, you know, a bit supportive of Palestine, much like Ireland. Let's have a look at what's actually happening in Spain. Spain is in the grip of terrible societal clashes between migrants, of which there are tons of them. Of course, Spain and other countries suffer from huge, unmitigated immigration, and it's caused a lot of problems. And when a migrant decided to rearrange the facial features of a Spanish pensioner, yeah, kicked off on the streets. Run the video, Woggy. Not good. It just looks like people have had enough. They've had enough of this, and it's a tinderbox, you know? It's just ready to kick off. Lots of countries, not just Spain. It really is. Europe's, you know, in a dangerous place right now, all because of idiotic policy. It's all policy. This is all politicians' fault. Forget about what's happening on the streets. This is all because it is a vacuous, idiotic, road to nowhere immigration policy. Thanks to Frau Merkel, many would say. Yeah, jawohl. But let's not kid ourselves. There's a new kid in town, basically. His name is, you know, Friedrich Merz. And Fred is a very interesting guy. We talk a lot about him here, ex-BlackRock CEO, very wealthy dude. And he has become the right-hand man of the narco-fuhrer in Kiev. He is the most aggressively Russophobic European leader at the moment, probably because they want to show off to the French. Macron was, until his wife started to beat him up, right, Augie? And he kind of had to fade into the background a bit, you know. So now Fred is in charge. Fred wants to rearm Germany. He wants to go for a third time lucky. You know, these boys don't do history, right? They don't do history books. They were telling us that they thought the Kursk invasion was a great idea from the Ukrainians. We're not hearing so much about Kursk anymore, are we? No? Anyone for Kursk? No. Because everybody who went to Kursk with their little swastikas on their tanks is under the ground, including the narco-fuhrer's friends. Let's have a look at Mr. Merz. Let's have a look at Germany. And they're basically saying, we will not give up. We will never surrender to Russia. Now, newsflash, I wasn't aware that Germany was actually at war with Russia. Were you, Huggy? Crazy shit. Run the video.
I have two messages. The one goes to Moscow and to President Putin. The message is quite simple.
Is it?
We will not give up.
No. Give up what exactly? Give up your industry? Give up your gas? Give up your society? Give up your future? Because you've given all that up, okay? Nord Stream, anybody? And you know, Augie, they say, you know, 90% of human communication is nonverbal. You got to look at how someone moves, their body language, their expression. And you know, looking at old Fred Merz, you would be forgiven for worrying that he is probably the right pair of hands to manage the entire European economy. Yeah, he's the man that you want in charge. You know, rock solid, absolutely rock solid. Check this out. Run the video, Augie.
Termin zuvor gab es bereits Kuchen. Und auch wenn nicht alles rund läuft an diesem Abend mit seiner Regierung.
I don't know. You know, we love to watch someone drop and shit, right? It's just good. It's just human nature. Yeah, but you know, butterfingers, as they say. You know, Augie, is there any truth, do you think, in what they say about the cocaine destroying the nervous system? Remember the train?
Actually, Che, cocaine ruins nervous system and Merz is ruining Germany. The economy is so these days that they are going to cut down the Burger Geld, the unemployment subsidies, and the subsidies to the universities as well.
Wow. And of course, that comes on top of the EU basically cutting subsidies to farmers, people in agriculture, some of the lowest paid workers across the EU. Those subsidies and the common agriculture policy is getting reduced, all so that they can send a couple of hundred billion more to Uncle Sam, so Uncle Sam can send the weapons back to Europe, and then the weapons will then go to the narco-fuhrer for the Ukro scam. And, you know, it's a complete... So it's a circle jerk, right? Come on. You see it, right? And again, let's not forget, Germany is the big boy in Europe, in the EU. Biggest economy, you know, a growing military, you know, a bit of a history when it comes to the military, right? Like, don't mention the war, as they used to say here. And of course, in order to cultivate that kind of society where, you know, there's an absolute truth, a singular truth, you know, you have to work very hard on your propaganda. And that all involves terrifying the shit out of people about something that, you know, isn't there. You got to make it very, very scary. Let's have a look at the Germans first, talking about how crazy Russian propaganda is. Right? Right, Huggy?
We are so crazy, Che.
Check this. Run the video, Huggy.
Herzlich willkommen zu unserer beliebten Rubrik. Ist russische Desinformation immer noch so verrückt?
Ist russische Desinformation immer noch so verrückt?
The Ukrainian Minister for Foreign Affairs.
Is Russian propaganda still crazy?
The whole of Ukraine is ours.
Yes.
Ist russische Desinformation immer noch so verrückt?
That's great.
I'm not really sure why they're using Armenian music for this.
Come on, Augie, you know and I know there's only one kind of music which is worth listening to. It's Armenian. Come on, bro. So now let's have a look at the other side of the coin. Like I said, in a society like Germany, you need to manipulate. You need to put billions and billions over the years into, you know, demonizing the Russians. You have to do it. You have to do it. After all, they did hand you your asses, you know, a couple of times. So let's have a look at what ordinary Germans who've received all this propaganda by osmosis through every platform, radio, TV, newspapers, if anyone ever reads newspaper anymore. Let's have a look at what happened when they were presented with the actual reality about what's happening on the streets of Ukraine. The busification videos where people are getting dragged off the streets. Remember, this isn't a democracy. Nobody's been elected to government Ukraine since 2019. He's out of luck, out of time. It doesn't seem to matter. No democracy need apply. How's Siri getting on? Think about it, right? Let's have a look at ordinary Germans being shown the reality of what's happening on the streets of Ukraine. And let's have a listen to what their response is. Run the video, Augie.
If that's true, then it's wrong and probably illegal.
That's not here. That must be China or somewhere like that. Korea or something, right?
That's North Korea. You mean?
Yes.
North Korea.
That's Ukraine.
That's Ukraine?
Yes.
What happened there is terrible.
Yeah, you can hardly believe your eyes.
That's not democratic.
Yeah, it really needs to be decided democratically, that's for sure. But of course, if they are running out of people, then I can also understand that the state says we absolutely have to defend our country. It's a really tough question.
They have to do it. We understand. Grandfather told us all about it.
What do you think about it?
I think it's terrible, really.
But I truly think that's somehow quite inhumane, indeed.
Yeah, that shouldn't exist at all. Not in any way. And I think it's really terrible that we're supporting them.
Mm-hmm. Wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey, Deutschland. Mm-hmm. And who did Mr. Merz take the baton of, you know, supporting the Ukro scam from? Let's have a little look at it, Augie. I think, first of all, was probably, you know, probably the French. But the British were always there in the background, you know, agitating. They've been there since, you know, for centuries in the region, stirring up trouble. But for decades, helping the Brits with the Americans, with the Maidan coup. And in the background, running basically the Ukraine. Ukrainian Navy, responsible for the Krinky show, responsible in some parts for the Kursk invasion, which became a show, the counter-flop flunk in 2023, which became a show. So the Brits have had their sort of grubby little fingers in the pie for quite a while. And the big personality, the man who pulled the Marco Fuhrer away from the negotiating table back in 2022 was, of course, Boris Johnson, Bojo the Butcher, a really repellent creature, the ugliest bastard that ever stood up on two legs, a friend of mine would call him. He's a serial philanderer, liar, fraud, you know, he's kind of blundered his way through political and media life. And, you know, he became this figurehead for Ukraine, this, you know, the savior of Ukraine. Well, back home, people were, you know, finding out just what a creep he was and what a fraud he was at the time he was over in Ukraine. Now, where is he now, I ask you? Where is good old Bojo now? Well, he seems to have made his money, and he was recently seen on the beautiful island of Capri, a very exclusive island, partying with some of his Ukrainian friends, drinking champagne, Bollinger, by the neck, and dancing on tables and having a rare old time in one of the most exclusive and expensive clubs on the island. Run the video, Augie. I don't even, you know me, I got a lot of words, but I don't even know what to say to that. That really would make you physically sick. Right, Augie?
Well, Che, I got something even more disgusting for you that's going to make you even sicker. The UK has become the rape capital of the world, with 109 people getting raped per 100k population.
Wow. So that's a sort of an epidemic of rape. And of course, staying in old Blighty, the home of Bojo, you know, they're also quite bellicose. They really want this war with Russia, despite the fact that there's absolutely no way that they can fight a war with Russia. The UK armed forces, a British army, which, remember, policed and ran an empire the size of which has never been seen. The sun literally never set on the British Empire a couple of hundred years ago. Now the British army is the smallest and most decrepit it's ever been. The British Navy is incomplete. I recently wrote about this. Check my Twitter. And yet they still seem to be talking war. The drumbeats of war are still being banged incessantly by the Brits. Now, let's have a look at what they expect to go and fight the Russians. Now, remember, the Russians right now have the biggest cadre of military veterans on Earth, the most combat and battle-hardened military systems on Earth, and I think they've got the second biggest army on Earth. And have a look at what Keir Starmer Fuhrer is thinking of sending to fight the Russians. Have a look, check it. Run the video, Augie. Is it over yet? Oh my God. Woo, what's woe for? Woo, what are they wooing about? Woo, it should be woo. Instead of woo, it should be woo.
The UK is prepared to back this with boots on the ground and planes in the air.
Well, Che, I'm not sure how they're going to get those jets in the air if their pilots are so fat.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. It's like the diabetic battalion. Apologies to anyone with diabetes. Terrible disease. So that brings us to the end of yet another Moscow Mules episode. Thanks for joining us. And of course, without you, what is it? It's just a two-man party. And Augie and I are tired of that. Mm-hmm. So what's it been all about this week? Well, every week, Augie and I sit down for our little meetings here in FSB HQ. And we say, well, what are we going to talk about this week? And we sometimes think maybe there'll be no material next week. There'll be no fake politicians lying and trying to make money out of war. There'll be no corruption. There'll be no fake narratives being peddled to you in Internetsville. But every week we seem to be disappointed. And just like last week and 52 weeks previously, we're going to be here next week carving open the joint and looking inside and seeing if there are any maggots infesting your diet of propaganda and helping you to digest what you probably shouldn't have been eating in the first place. So from Augie and I, until next week, we hope you'll join us again soon. See you then.